All right, this podcast is called Social Endeavor, and it is about being a young professional in today's society and learning how to find our way through jobs, friends, and other activities that we enjoy. I am Autumn, and I'm joined today by my friends James and Brandon.
Hello, Autumn. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, James?
Awesome.
Cool. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Autumn.
Over there.
Brandon here.
Cool. So, I guess I feel like I should explain a little bit about podcasting in general really fast, and how I got inspired to do it. It also has something to do with my job hunt, too, so it's relevant. So, my cousin, Davey, introduced me to podcasts, and I thought it was really awesome, and I also was looking for something to do while I'm job hunting, because I'm in a job right now that's great, but I'm an office manager, but it's just not very stimulating or creative. So, and I needed this. I graduated in December, so I've been looking for something to fill my time, and I love meeting people and interviewing them and getting their perspective. So I have a lot of friends who have moved here from other states, and I think I love hearing about other people's experience of them growing up in different places, and also what drew them to come to Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So, if you just want to talk about, like, why you made the move here.
Well, I think we're great examples for that, because, first of all, I mean, we both moved here, and
right.
That's why.
And you're from?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
James is from South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But we came with different perspectives. I think, if I'm not mistaken, James, you wanted to come to Minneapolis, right? Like, you, like, scoped it out for a while, and, like, you thought, hey, that's, like, the place to be?
I did. Yeah, this was more of a launch pad, though. This
okay.
was like, I want to move several different places.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start out with Minneapolis, see
and
if I like it, and move on.
For me, I'd been through Minneapolis a few times, and I'm just like, no, it's not enough city. Like, I'll go somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you know, first, and then I ended up over here once, and I actually ended up liking it. So it was more of like a mistake
mm-hmm.
that I ended up liking. I don't know.
Yeah. So what would be like more city for you?
Well, I had thought about Chicago.
Yeah.
I've been to Chicago a couple of times. I've been to New York, but I just had never really done anything in downtown
mm-hmm.
Minneapolis. I'd been to downtown St. Paul a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
but most of that stuff was when I was in college. I didn't know. I wasn't that connected.
Right.
So really what made Minneapolis a lot of fun for me was once I moved here and started getting dialed into some of the other disconnected groups, all these different, James went with, we went to, what was that? The Minneapolis Random Inspirations group, you know, some of the different groups like that,
mm-hmm.
where there's a lot of 20s and 30s somethings that moved in for a job, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just wants to hang out and have a good time. They're trying to figure out what do they want to do when
yeah.
they grow up
yeah.
someday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really important for people like myself who have grown up here to reach out to those kinds of people, because they're even more ready to meet friends. Like, for me, I grew up here, and I have some childhood friends, but not a lot. So, but some people, I think, can get stuck in just hanging out with the friends they've already always known, but not embracing, like, new people who have different, you know, perspectives of living in around the States.
Mm-hmm.
So
moving to a new city, I mean, you're forced to make, I mean, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You have to make new friends. You start a new job, you meet new people, and you network, and you see where that takes you.
Mm-hmm.
And with the meetup thing, we met a lot of people. With my job, I've met a lot of people. I mean, it just grows and grows.
Mm-hmm.
And moving here, we moved here from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I think it's terrifying to leave a network that you already have well established.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Sioux Falls, it's like, I could have this job, I could have this job. When I thought about it, I'm like, I don't want to live in, I want to move. I want to get to a bigger city and see what else is out there since I've been here
yeah.
basically my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made the move to Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll move on to North Carolina, maybe next door,
really?
Texas.
Really? Is that
okay,
the next?
Okay, I forgot North. Have you mentioned North Carolina before or not? Because I've got a couple different, I've actually, an ex-girlfriend just moved to North Carolina this month. And a friend's younger brother from high school is moving sometime soon. And, like, it's just nuts how many people. I had a cousin that was down there for, like, an internship. My uncle moved down there and then moved back.
Mm-hmm.
It's
going on in North Carolina.
I have absolutely no reason. Just because somebody mentioned it, and I was like, wow, that sounds like it's not so bad. It's close to the coast.
Right.
Still, you've got some bigger cities.
Yeah.
And I can do a lot of traveling on the East Coast, where I have only traveled in the Midwest before this. And I want to get over there, get planted, and then be able to branch out and go see other states that are in there.
Yeah.
The East Coast.
I think it would be really cool to live in a place that is so close to other big cities, because in Minneapolis, like, if you want to go on a road trip, there's only, like, the Dakotas and Wisconsin. Not that those places are bad, but it's just, like, there's no, let's say if you're
seriously,
in
North Dakota, there's no reason.
Who wouldn't want to go there? but, you know, like, on the East Coast, that's some place that I've definitely thought of traveling to. Well, I've traveled there, and I'd love to live there, because, like, even in Philly, you're a couple hours away from D.C., New Jersey, you know, New York, all those huge places that have so much to offer as far as culture with the arts, and just, you can find everything you'd want over there. So, that would be awesome.
So, moving here to Minneapolis was technically on a whim for me as well. I mean, I didn't have it well established in what I was going to do or even where I was going to live.
Yeah.
I mean, I put it all together within a week before me moving, but
that's so cool.
All I knew was I had to wait until I was out of college so I didn't have to do college out of state, get everything out of the way, and then I was like, oh, I packed up everything and I left a week later after I graduated.
Wow.
I came here. No job, no place to stay. And I was just like, oh, I found a Craigslist ad for a roommate,
mm-hmm.
I got my house, I put up Craigslist ad for, I mean, I applied to like 100, a lot of jobs, I have
mm-hmm.
no idea how many, but, you know, I did the whole resume and cover
mm-hmm.
letter thing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Which was not panning out.
Mm-hmm.
I switched to Craigslist and started posting ads for resumes and for
mm-hmm.
jobs. And that's where I got my first job, a week after I moved here.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's scary.
That's actually, that's way better than I did. Because, I mean, I had already been over this way once. I wasn't in Minneapolis. I was outside of the cities a little ways. And then I decided, okay, actually, you know, Twin Cities are where it's at. Like, I want to move closer to downtown and interact
mm-hmm.
with, you know, all these different people doing all these different things. And so I went back to Wisconsin for a couple months, saved some money up so I could, okay,
mm-hmm.
I got a place in December. I moved in January, but it took me a couple months to, you know, but I was still doing, I didn't do the Craigslist thing. I did the Craigslist thing. I found an attic. I think I was paying $390 a month for an attic for like,
wow.
So
you do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
But it took me, I think the end of February, I ended up getting a couple hits on a job, and I almost took a job out in Oregon instead. I flew out there, and I got a job offer in a small town in Oregon, but I ended up declining that and sticking it out in the cities just a little bit longer.
But wasn't that more of a substantial job? I mean, that was more of a realistic
mm-hmm.
career-type position?
I'm just taking a job, actually, starting in a couple weeks that'll match the salary of the job I would have had, like, a year and a half
ago. Wow.
So, like, I'm kind of, I kind of lost a year and a half. Like, the salaries would be the same, but I could have had that a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in a small town in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, so I took a temp job for 3 days with the county on a Library of Congress, like, transformation project.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, I finished interviewing with another company, which ended up taking me on. So I was able to find something here yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, I'm happy with the decision. I'd rather be here. I didn't want to get pigeonholed in some small...
Absolutely.
I'm glad you both...
I think you made
here.
The right decision.
Yeah. So, what do you think is a better, like, force driver for getting a job? Because some days I've been looking, like, seriously for a job for the past 4 months. And with, like, no concrete leads. And so some days I feel like maybe I should just quit my job so then I'll really feel the urgency, you know? Because, like, I'm in a comfortable place. Like, I don't have to worry about, like, losing my job. But I feel like maybe if I had that sense of urgency of, like, just picking up and moving because it's, like, my life depends on that, you know? Do you think that plays a lot into...
That can. I mean, depending on who you are. And I know Thomas Winegar, I went to a... There was a Theology on Tap where Thomas Winegar spoke, and he was
mm-hmm.
a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
He consults for a lot of Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah.
But I think he kind of suggests that, or he likes that when somebody comes in and they're unemployed, and he's like, okay, So you don't have the job thing going on. This is something I can work with. Now you can build your career.
Yeah.
Instead of you're stuck with your 9 to 5, you're stuck in the rut that you're in,
mm-hmm.
and you can't think big picture.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I prefer to know what I'm doing next to some extent, but when you know you want, if you knew you wanted to be somewhere, I'd say just go. Like you said, if you're, you know, if you're kind of in James's spot, well, I want to go East Coast, and if you all of a sudden nailed a city and said, I want to live in that city,
yeah,
I would say move and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, then it's a little bit harder.
Right. Because then you kind of second guess yourself if things don't go out or, you know, work out.
I think the mind is unbelievably creative, and when you put yourself into a position where you have to be,
mm-hmm.
where you have, like, I need to pay $500 at the end of the month, I'm going to, you know, if I lose this job, I'm going to find another way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you get set in your mind, and you just kind of have faith in yourself to be able to do it and make those leap.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that makes a huge difference, at least to me.
Yeah.
That frame of mind, if I'm comfortable with something, and I'm like, I can put up with this,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm job searching, and...
Well, that's how I used to save money in high school, too. I used to save up enough money to put a CD in, but then you'd make yourself poor. You just, like, you got no cash on you anymore.
Yeah.
So you've got an income, but you don't have any cash sitting there. So it's like, okay, I've got $20 in my billfold. That's it.
Right.
You've got money elsewhere, but it's locked up. It's gone. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's definitely good. We're creatures of necessity. We can.
Mm-hmm. We can work hard for what we need, and we'll figure out a way.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had that scenario just recently.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had this job, that job that I applied for when I moved here that I got a week after I moved. I had it for this last year, and I was really itching to get somewhere else. First off, it's just way too far. It was unrealistic for me to be working that almost the entire time, but I still did it. And then there was, like, no opportunity for growth, which was driving me crazy.
Right.
So I've potentially been looking for a job for months now,
mm-hmm.
but I've been so comfortable that I just never worried about it. I'll just stay here and I'll keep
mm-hmm.
until something comes up. Well, 2 weeks ago, I straight up was like, man, this is just not working for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea. I mean, I've got some leads, but I had nothing solid. And I was like, straight up, I can't do this anymore. Technically, I didn't work for like 3 or 4 days until this property management thing that I'm doing now really came through, but... It was a couple of days where I'm like, oh, I could be seriously broke in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And potentially out on the street living in Brandon's house.
Right.
Yeah, I'd have taken you in.
Yeah, I know.
That's
it would have been sweet. But no, it panned out. It was that whole frame of mind. I was like,
right.
I was just too comfortable. And all right, I can't put up with anymore. I moved here because I want to grow and I want to do things. I want to get things done.
Yeah.
And this is a position now that I'm in
mm-hmm.
that'll give me that opportunity where I didn't have before.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's good, but it's dangerous because
right.
I can just, like, I can, if I embrace that, you can take it a little too far. It's a lot of fun to live like that.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, for me, for this other job, I kept waiting and, like, well, is there, you know, room for advancement? And, oh, yeah, well, you know, we put in some job recs. We want to create this job and that job, but it's just not quite there yet. You know, the carrot's a little bit...
Yeah.
I remember one night I was talking to a guy and I asked him, you know, hey, will you be a reference for me? You know, I think I should apply out. And I got home and I was like, okay, I'm going to go on LinkedIn and, well, I don't know. And I didn't really end up applying anywhere. But I opened up my LinkedIn and there I had an inbox.
That's so.
There's a recruiter from another company in the industry saying, hey, we think we've got a job in management for you. Are you interested? I was like, management?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sign me up.
Yeah.
I had a phone interview the next day, day after, on-site interview, next week, second round, boom, job.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. So sometimes if you create the networks, that can help a lot too.
It's a little bit of everything. I think it's like, you know, investing in the people you know, setting up informational interviews, and then putting the word out there so that your friends know too. So it's like, hey, if something comes up, you know, keep me in mind or whatever. So... But then it's also going out to those companies and those, like, listings to apply for those jobs that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, you have to get hungry. I mean, you have to make
yourself,
you can't, like, fabricate ambition.
Right.
You have to be like,
how do you do this?
How bad do you want it? That motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I put a lot of thought into that, actually. When you have a job or you have the potential to do something, but you're just too comfortable.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I know I want to put this energy into it, but I just have no ambition to want to do it. I'm not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need money. I'm sitting just fine.
Right.
I'm pretty happy with where I'm at, but I want to be here. And a year ago, I would have jumped on it immediately and done this and that. But
mm-hmm.
you have to get hungry.
So Sounds like, what's that? The Tony Robbins, is it?
Yep.
Yeah, you're a big fan, aren't you?
I am a big fan.
Yeah. I listened to one of his podcasts a while back. It was pretty good. Or maybe a YouTube video. I don't remember what it was, but he's pretty inspirational guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that are in the Tony Robbins bracket, but yeah, that guy, he's in a realm of his own. He is, too. I've got a CD, a couple CD sets of his. And he looks at it in a whole different way. I mean, he gives, like, really powerful metaphors that you can associate with it to be able to create that drive.
Right.
But, I mean, it, you know,
yeah,
the intention of making it work, but...
Mm-hmm.
And I also agree. I mean, if you don't have the drive, like, I went back, I cleared it with my work that I could work some weekends back at the place. I saved up some money. I worked a piecework factory. You would get paid for however many pieces of, you know, like, you made in the factory. So
yeah,
you know, as hard as you worked, that's how hard you got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back, and I was too comfortable because it was just like,
yeah,
when I worked there the other fall, I needed the money. Like, I needed the money because I wanted to move here. When I came back for the winter just to work some weekends in between on holidays, I was just like, you know what? I've got a job right now. It's pretty good. So I guess I can just kind of take it easy, and I guess I really don't want it that bad right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's way different mindset.
Mm-hmm. I think subconsciously, I almost starve myself sometimes.
Yeah.
Really?
To be able to create that drive. And I, which I've always put it in the back of my mind to think that those are the moments that you have the most ambition, the most motivation. And I think sometimes I strive to get there unintentionally,
mm-hmm,
and then once I get there, I'm like, okay, now I'm firing, now I'm ready to go.
Now, define starve. You mean economically starve, or do you mean, like...
Physically.
Because, I mean, like, that's... I heard that before, like,
mm-hmm,
and I don't know how traditional that is, but the different groups might actually forego eating before hunting or different activities.
I think people see it in different ways. Like, some people could only have enough money to pay the next 2 months' worth of rent, and they could call that starve. Me, I could not, I could have negative balance in my account and have to pay something in 2 days, like my rent. I can get that starved. And, because I know that I have the potential and I have the ability to go out and create the sort of income that I need at whatever time, wherever I'm at, with those kind of skills that I think that I have. I mean, I don't...
How valuable do you think?
Don't
want
to ring my own bell, but... No,
yeah.
I push it to that limit, because... Man, I want to be pushed that hard. I want to do it.
Yeah, that's true. Because another aspect of job hunting is that it can feel really, like, you can start to feel worthless after a while. It's like being constantly turned down. Like, I had to take a break a few weeks ago because I'm like, I'm not getting anywhere. And I feel like all my experiences are just nothing, you know? So, I don't know. It's just interesting to think about, like, how to keep your motivation up and, you know, believe in yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Minneapolis is a very, very active city.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a city of like 250,000, which is the biggest city in South Dakota, but still they have this super small town mentality,
mm-hmm,
where there's not groups of strange individuals getting together for the most weird obscene things you wouldn't even think about. Like, I know for a fact that there's not any, like, you know, like people do silks, where they climb silks, and then they do, like,
oh yeah,
acrobatic things off of them.
Yeah.
Well, you would never find that in Sioux Falls.
Have you done that?
I have.
Are you talking about Kari's video the other day, or are you talking...
No, I've seen multiple groups for
but
that.
You're saying, like,
for that specific sort of thing. That, yeah, there's options to do weird things like that.
Yeah.
That you won't find other places. You know the silks? It's like climbing up a rope, but you climb up this silk.
Like,
and then
Pink,
you do acrobatic.
Pink does that. She's, like, known for doing that in her shows.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it's just an example, but there's just the weirdest, strangest stuff, and it feeds the creativity in everybody that lives here, I think. It's just, get out, go do stuff.
Right. We're busy people.
Yeah.
And we like being busy.
Yeah.
You'll cross paths with a lot of the same people, though, too. It's really interesting. Like, you'll run into somebody that... It's like, oh man, I remember running into them at this event, you know, 6 months ago, and it's like, oh, I used to hang out with you over here, and I mean, so it, as much of a big city as it is, it still gets a small town feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what somebody else from my small town said, is I think they went and got their law degree at Hamline, and then they're working in Chicago now. But that's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
They said the Twin Cities are like the biggest small town you'll ever be in.
Wow.
Because it's got the big town feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, eventually, you can kind of get to know a lot of people that you're going to run into in all the same places.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a little bit of a mix for both worlds. You can create little cliques here, there, and everywhere, and every once in a while you still run into a friendly face.
Yeah.
I think that's the scene that you're, you know, you get into this type of scene, like a businessy type scene or a young professional scene, then you're eventually you're going to keep running into those type of people. But, I mean, there's a lot of different scenes that you could be in here, too.
Yeah.
Which some that we wouldn't even be aware of because it's just not stuff that we're interested in, not stuff that we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love theater, and I also did volunteered at a couple fashion shows and, like, saw... Yeah, it's just, like, we have everything, you know?
Did you do the catwalk?
No.
Oh, not that kind of
volunteer. Okay, but someone... I showed up at one fashion show, and I was paying my meter, and she's like, oh, are you a model? And I'm like...
Yes.
No, and I'm so happy you just said that. And she was a photographer for the show. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Here, snap some pictures quick.
And
yeah,
yesterday when
I
was downtown at Target, there was a girl talking to her friend bragging and saying, oh, I was modeling at, you know, so like this kind of stuff's going on all the time. And she was bragging, saying she was modeling in the, you know, when it was 10 below or something. And the person's like, well, did you get paid? She's like, no, I didn't get paid. But I got published.
Right.
You know,
that's
and
all
it's
that
just
matters.
Kind of,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it adds your portfolio. Holy cow.
Yeah. So I think we have the accessibility to do anything we want, especially with theater, too. I was in theater for a couple years, and it's we have, like, good quality venues, but on a smaller scale. You know, it's not super competitive, you know? Like, we do have a huge community, but there's also, like, smaller theaters you can just do for fun or... The Guthrie, you know, it ranges.
Well, I walked past the Red Eye Theater the other day, too.
Oh,
what's that?
I think I've been there once. That's pretty, like, they do smaller shows.
Yeah.
But
it was, you know, tucked away so far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how does the theater exist here? But evidently it does.
Yeah. Well, there's, like, the Fringe Show Festival. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's, like, 2 weeks in, I think, July or August, where... There's, like, 3 shows a day at tons of venues across Minneapolis and St. Paul. And it's a lottery, so you can put your group into the lottery, and you get chosen to, you know, do your show there. And so you get all the staff with, like, ushers and all that stuff and lighting. And you just, like, do your show for, like, maybe 5 days at random times for 2 weeks. And it's a huge festival. And it's, like, a thing in Europe. I think it started there.
It's a thing.
Mm-hmm. It's
a
thing.
It's a thing. Oh, there's so many things. Like, I don't... Well, today... there really are. Like, today was the Festival of Nations in St. Paul.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
and Cinco de Mayo, they're doing the big May Day parade.
Oh,
yeah.
I did that last
or not,
year.
Not tomorrow.
Oh, I bet you that... Wait a minute.
They're doing the May Day parade tomorrow, though. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right. Last year... Did you... No, you didn't go.
No.
Okay. No, I went with...
I was moving into my house.
Okay.
Last year in May Day.
Oh,
Minneapolis.
Wow.
I keep thinking,
anniversary.
Yeah, it's a year.
Cool.
Yeah, I always say that I met you like a couple hours before that, but now
I just let it
so
go.
Fast. Yeah,
I let it go.
No, I went to
feels like I've known you forever.
You can think whatever you want.
Yeah, but the city is unbelievably creative. I mean, you can continually rediscover aspects of
things.
Minneapolis. Yeah.
Well, that begs the question: how do you stay informed of like? All these things. Because things can go by without you knowing,
you
too.
You keep in touch with Brandon.
Okay.
He does the weirdest things in the world. He had a miss out on his yoga this morning.
Right.
I did.
Because of a foot injury. Because
of kickboxing.
Yeah.
Because of another.
No, I had to miss out on kickboxing this morning, which would have come before yoga this morning.
Oh, so you had to miss out on both.
Both.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it's kind of taking a little out of my weekend. I don't know.
Yeah.
So so you're saying other routes of
like,
finding activities and stuff to be doing.
Like,
meetup groups are, I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's pretty limited. I mean, there's not, I would think there would be more meetups for Minneapolis, but I just think a lot of people don't use it.
Right.
Don't get on there for it.
Yeah. I think it's just being out, too. Like, for instance, another, like, one thing that's my favorite thing about Minneapolis is at Lake Harriet, there's free yoga every morning from, like, probably pretty soon in May to August or September, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, like every single day, and it's free, and it's so awesome, you know. So things like that, but like I wouldn't have known, I think, unless I went to Harriet to run or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
and that's what social media is basically doing for us, and I think that has something to do with how the the how the young professionals are so interconnected now mm-hmm. is social media gives you that ability, because I know about that yoga and I've never been.
Right.
You know, I know that you do yoga on top of Brits Pub, but I've never been.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of different, I mean, I know some churches that do yogas on different days. They're like, there's a plethora of events that, like, you just don't even have time to hit them all
right.
or haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember which meetup group has the Lake Harriet
okay.
yoga on it, but it's,
okay.
yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's volleyball meetup groups. There's
yeah.
everything. And some of these groups have, you know, 2,000 active members.
Yeah.
But you can go one time, you know, and then go another time 9 months later, and there's so many faces you know.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
So people are really committed
yeah.
to their thing, the things.
Well, I think before there was so much, you know, social media, and everybody had everything on their phone, and
right.
you can run around. Like, now you can just, like, you can find a group, find the location, and, you know, Google Maps has got you there in a hurry.
Yeah.
Like, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
I think before, people had to be a lot more clicky. It's like, no, I just, you know, in the summer, I play softball.
Yeah.
In the summer, I play volleyball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was your entire sociality in,
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
Yeah.
Whereas now I could be like, well, on Mondays I go here,
right.
but Tuesdays I go there,
mm-hmm.
but Wednesdays, but Thursdays, but Fridays.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
And then D&D.
Yeah. You always got to mix that in there. Well, yeah, that takes some Fridays up.
Mm-hmm.
But not next Friday. I'm not sure I'm going to do next Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so I think Twitter can help with that. I've recently just joined Twitter in hopes of finding a job.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I post, like, tweets about, I say, like, hashtag job hunting, and then, like, other people follow me, and probably in hopes of me following them to get a job, I think.
Right.
I don't know.
Not just because you're really cool?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe
yeah.
they're like, good job, Autumn. Like, keep looking. They just want to follow me to make me feel better. I don't know. Probably not.
That's appreciated.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So, yeah, but my favorite, like, social media experience is, okay, so one time I went to a bakery down the block with my roommate, and I posted a picture on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, you know, at Turtle Bread Company, eating breakfast, and then I went home, and then on Facebook, my friend was like, where are you? We're here. And I was like, what? So this was all within, like, an hour. And I'm like, I will be right over. So I got dressed, like, ran over there on my way to work. And so then I took another picture, of course. And it was, like, same place, different time.
And then somebody got a hold of you. And you
yeah.
Went,
yeah. It was
no.
so awesome. I'm like, I love social media.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And immediately you post a picture. Like,
yeah.
when I was still living in South Dakota, I was here at the Mall of America.
Mm-hmm.
Posted a picture that I was there. My friend was like, oh, I'm at the Mall of America too.
Yeah.
We ended up hanging out for the next 2 hours or whatever.
Crazy.
It's
yeah.
totally random. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's awesome. All those missed opportunities are now being seized.
You know, and it's scary because there's sometimes when I'd say, okay, you know, you maybe shouldn't let everybody know where you're at
right.
and things. But what would be kind of cool, and I don't know, like, there's so many apps, it's even hard to keep up with what app they have out these days. Should almost be like an app that's like a friend proximity app,
mm.
but that also operates on another algorithm that determines how often you interact with said friend.
Yes.
So if it can determine that this is a friend that lives 6 hours away that you interact with once every year,
yeah.
and they are within 30 miles,
hmm.
like, you know, like, alert should be, or, you know, like, that'd be kind of, but I guess, now, as I'm saying that, if you're said friend and you wanted to roll through town without realizing,
yes.
yeah. Oh, I forgot, yeah, okay, so maybe that's not so
if
good.
People had those apps, they might just turn them off.
Aha.
Right.
Yeah.
So, actually, yeah, if you want to travel incognito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could
yeah.
be helpful, because it's like, you're at the grocery store, you're about to run into your ex, like, leave or something.
Well, they also know that you're there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It could go both ways.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder
if
you take them off of your little ping dart.
Because even without that, I mean, I just like, I like to be connected that way. And so you talked about leaving your entire social network in Sioux Falls. That wasn't so big of a deal for me, because I had moved so many times already. Like, I had lived all over the state of Wisconsin. And I lived in Mexico,
wow.
and, like, so when I drive back, though, between the Twin Cities and where I'm from in Wisconsin, like, it's 3.5-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I stop in so many cities, and I know people in so many places on the way. Like, it takes me forever because I socialize the whole way home.
And you're generally happy to see those people.
I'm happy to, well, yeah. And I get to choose,
yeah.
You know, I get to choose mm-hmm. when, but I make a couple stops at least, you know, before I get home. I stop in Menominee sometimes and we'll see some of the people I used to work with there, or, you know, Thorpe, or, you know, just all kinds of different places. Or I'll just be at a Subway. Any one of the Subways I stop and eat, you know, I run into different people and it's just like...
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a lot of fun that way. Mm-hmm. But maybe an app would be overdoing it.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think this has been a really awesome start to my podcast. Do you guys have any other closing mm-hmm. thoughts?
I like that pizza that we had earlier.
That was a really good pizza.
That's a thought that's on my brain right now. I'm thinking that I need to go home and get changed and go to this murder mystery birthday party.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's also on my mind.
Cool. What are you up to tonight?
An example of weird things that happened in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never before in my life had I been to a murder mystery party. Now I've
or
been to two.
Of one.
Have been to two.
Now I will have been to two in the last month.
Awesome.
Yes. No, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like them too.
What about you, Brad? Any last thoughts?
Until next time.
Until next time.
Cool.
Next time you'll be paying me to be here, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right.